Today I want us to look at the title, Remembering Who and Remembering Why. Remembering Who and Remembering Why. Have you noticed in your mind that you have a lot of memories there? Have you noticed that you have a lot of good memories, kind memories, bad memories? Have you noticed that we are so complex that it takes the hand of God to bring us peace? It took the bloody massacre to bring peace to you and me. But Jesus said, I'm going to lay my life down. No man will take it from me. As folks always say, are the Jewish people, are the Romans, you know, who at the end, and when it comes time for judgment, will be found guilty for putting Christ on the cross, for killing Christ? Nobody. Jesus said, no man can kill me. I will lay my life down on my own. Father, forgive them, because they sure don't know what they're doing. And it seems that that same picture of life in our generation had followed through generation after generation. We still do not know what we're doing. And God said, I'm going to send you an answer. And that answer is love. Ultimate love. Here's your answer. Then if ultimate love is the answer, why is there so much hatred from individuals who said they're seeking answers? They want to know why. First of all, we need to focus on our question of remember who Jesus is. Remembering who, remembering why. And I use that in present tense because the scripture does. Remembering who Jesus is. Colossians 1, first part of verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's who Jesus is. All who said, oh, I need to see God. You see God physically through Jesus. So think of that. The visible image of the invisible God, of the invisible Father. And God says, here's what I want to teach you. Throughout your whole life and your whole walk with me, you will hear criticism from all who do not believe. But you need to understand the story of your life. The story that can make a difference in the heart of all those who hate God's creation. Hate our fellow man. What has it gotten us? And the Lord says, this is what hatred will do. This is what love will do. And we all say we want peace and we want love. But how many times do we refuse to love? How many times do we back away because I just don't like what that individual is saying? I can never remember in my growing up in a Baptist church of walking out the door and not hearing someone shaking hands with the pastor. Great message today. Great message today. And I go home with my relatives, and they had the preacher for lunch. I mean, he wasn't invited. But I just heard all of my loved ones tell the man what a great job he did. And yet, when they separate from there, what happened to the spirit? Is it just words? Do you and I truly, truly believe who Jesus is? Jesus is God. There's never been a separation, ever, as to who Jesus is. And he also reminds us, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change. Human love changes. We even become totally estranged. Now, that's a tough word, estranged. It actually, the definition of that word is where there once was ultimate love, there is now pure hatred. So often we become estranged to God. Man does. Christians do. Christians get so upset because of what the world has dished out at us. Well, I can't believe God allowed this to happen to me. And become angry with God for years because we refuse to look inside of our own individuality. And notice that we had replaced love with bitterness, hatred. You and I, as Christians, must stand for the calling that God has given us. That calling could be a secular calling. Listen well. Teachers, you have no idea what kid is in your classroom, and God has a word that's going to come out of your mouth, teacher, that's going to change the heart of that child. And all we have to do is to love them enough to give them good food, something nourishing. I always have to go back to this story about my own family. We had our grandson Hunter. Here we are on a long weekend. And believe it or not, my grandson had eaten nothing but junk that his papa had bought for him. And his grandmother says, "Hunter, we are going to have to go to McDonald's so you will have something good to eat." We went to McDonald's. And we ate healthy, didn't we, Hunter? You see, Jesus says, healthy is what I give you. Peace I give to you. Now, he didn't leave it there. He says then, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. I give you my peace. I'll never draw it back. I'll never take it back. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I will bring you peace, and I promise you that the peace that I bring you will be eternal. All right, then I said yes to Jesus. I'm born again, born from above, born anew. I don't care how you put it. I know Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. I have a relationship. No denomination can bring that to me. So, I know that. Then how can we, any of us, pastor or any of us, how can we then allow the bitterness and hatred of our own prejudices to overshadow the love and peace that Jesus offers? Think of that. Well, there you wanted peace, yes. Then why are you sowing bitterness? Well, because I grew up in the church and that's what you did. You shook hands with the preacher, told him how good he did. And then while you're eating chicken for lunch, you chewed the preacher up one side and down the other for what he didn't say. And when I was called to the ministry, that whole image of that came to me. I said, uh-oh. I wonder how many times I'll hear that one and how many people have had me for lunch and I didn't get a bite. But you and I as Christians, we cannot sit back. We cannot hold back love because of our own foolishness even. I'm sorry for the things that I say that hurt people. I mean, I'm sorry. Really am. But folks, you and I need to understand that we are human beings. And as a human being, you're going to mess up. And the only hope we seem to have is that our best friend over here messes up more than me. That way they'll talk about him or her. And the closest we come so often to praying is when we thank God that somebody else's misfortune didn't happen to us. Amen. You and I have a responsibility to love. It's a responsibility. Jesus loves me just like I am. I don't care whether any of you like me or not. Jesus loves me just like I am. But he loved me way too much to leave me just like I am. He will offer to you, he will offer to me, one of the greatest educations you will ever receive. Because Jesus is. Jesus is God. And God the Father was as much on that cross as Jesus the Son. The whole triunity of God took our sin, our pain, while Jesus, God incarnate, is crying out. Why was it done this way? Because you and I don't understand spirituality. We use it as a term. Oh, I love being spiritual. I know a lot of witches that are spiritual. Which spirit are you talking about? I'm talking about one spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God wanted you and I to see how much he loves us. So he taught us a lesson. And he was the subject. He said, I want you to see how much I love you. Can you picture a father watching his only begotten son go through living hell for people who don't like him, don't love him, don't care about him? And the father backing back when all he had to do was look in our direction and we'd have been annihilated. But that's not why God became human. Remember why God became human. Why God became Jesus. Now listen to this. And I've got it even printed in your bulletin. Read it over several times. Hebrews 2, 14, verses 14 through 15. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die. You do know that Jesus is the only prophet ever lived that's still alive, don't you? For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying, listen to what he did, could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. You want to know why God came in human form? Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives. Now here's your slavery as slaves to the fear of dying. People are afraid of dying. Let me tell you why. You and I are 100% human. Okay? And as a human being, as God has created us, he let us know that as 100% human being, he would come as 100% human and 100% God to take care of us, to show us how much he loves us, to bring that peace. Oh, what a bloody mess it was. Well, I don't want my child to hear that story about Jesus on the cross. Do you realize how vicious that is? You let censorship come to this nation, and folks, the Bible will be the first book censored. It's full of dirty, ornery, sex, blood, butchery, and any other atrocity that you can think of, plus some. You know why it's such a bloody book? Tells the truth. Tells the truth about life. So, If then I hide the book of God, the history of how you and I have this peace that he offers, if I destroy it, destroy the history, do you really think that covering over the blood will eliminate the stench of it? You ever been in combat? You ever been around where you know before you go over the next ridge that odor you're smelling is the odor of death? Normally one of your friends. If it wasn't, they became your friend right then and there. Dead. The Lord let us know something through such a vicious history. Welcome to the human race. Now let me finish telling you why we're afraid of dying from the human standpoint. Your body, my body, the human race was never created to die in the first place. Sin came in. With sin came death. With sin and with death came eternal life on that cross. What a bloody, bloody mess it took to get there. But did Jesus stop? No. You know why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The who, the why. But let me tell you, including your pastor, because of the nature, the humanness of us, we were given by God reflexes. Man, some of us, we've lost a lot of those reflexes. You can hit our knee all you want. That the rest of that leg ain't moving. You got it? God says, you are human. So what's going to happen? As a human being, you're going to become afraid. Because I wasn't created to die. So therefore, I will fight against that physical death. But Larry, don't you understand that you're going to be in heaven? Yeah, but I'm not there yet. I'm still stuck in this body and it hurts. Torture hurts. And God says, I got to come down, Larry. Because if I don't come down, you ain't coming with me. But now I'm going to come down in flesh, so that you'll understand how much I love you as flesh and blood. But let me tell you this, Christian. Oh, yeah, see, you let anything happen, a person come at you with a knife, are you not going, your reflex is not going to be put your hand up? If you're married, you might want to push your wife out there, but that don't work. Think of this. Or husband. But think of it. Those are reflexes. Human nature. Listen well. Because of this history, this bloody mess history, at some point during the process of this human body fighting death, if you're around me, Brother Randy, you better be there. If you're around me, I want you to pay attention to a smile. Oh, it'll come. It'll come. When? I don't know, but I do know this from Scripture. The Lord says that he will not put on us more than we can bear in any situation. At some point, you're going to see where you're going. At some point during the dying process, cancer has no chance. I'm sure I'll have cancer when I die, but it ain't going to kill me. Because you know, I know Jesus. And at some point, he is going to say, enough. That's at the point to when my spirit, who I really am, who you really are, will separate from the pain of the human existence. You mean it's all over? No, it has just begun. You see? It's in that name who loves me. But he said, don't you forget where you've come from. Don't you dare forget it. Because I knew what was going to happen and I came for you anyway. My book is the bloodiest there is. Because I've told the world the truth. Those who accept my truth will live eternally with me. And you haven't had a meal until you've had supper in heaven with Jesus. Whew. I do get excited about leaving, but folks, I got a grandson. I have a son. I have a wife. I have you all. And I have a calling to tell the truth. And to my last breath, I will do all I can to proclaim that truth, which is Jesus is Lord, and He loves me, and He loves you. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we lift Your holy name, thanking You, dear Lord God. Teach us, Father, Your wisdom as we see the why and the who, as we see the reasons that go on within our life, and also looking to the hope of the future. For through You, Father, we do not know what we're going to be doing in that future, but we do know that through Your Son, He holds my future. We ask Your blessing now upon each one as we make that commitment that we will take the ministry You've called us to, and that we will be serious about spreading the truth about Your love. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.